Welcome to Internet Aesthetic, a podcast about the internet, aesthetics, culture, and media. We're two Vietnamese-American women who live in a society, and we're here to analyze it. Grab a snack and hang out with us. Hey, Isa.
Hi, Lisa.
Today, we're talking about Instagram and exploring the things that we do for the gram. So where did the phrase come from, Isa?
Yeah, so the phrase, do it for the gram, according to Urban Dictionary, has been in use since around 2013. About 3 years after Instagram was created in 2010. I mean, people probably used the phrase before, but that's like the earliest documentation of the phrase on the internet. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so pretty much for as long as people have been using Instagram, this phenomenon was happening. And I guess like we can define do it for the gram. So I understand it as a phrase that people kind of throw around when they mean they want to do a specific activity or eat a specific thing, or I don't know, go to a specific place for the main purpose of just posting about it on Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is your understanding of the phrase?
That's also my understanding. So like, what kind of things do we do for the gram? Like the actual inspiration for this episode and something I was seeing a lot of on Instagram were those pictures of people in like these amazing natural landscapes, and they're wearing like fancy flowing evening gown type dresses, and some of them would also show like the behind the scenes and reels of how they managed to get up a mountain in a dress. And it was like really fascinating to me because most of them are wearing the dress under a jacket, and so it's like all big and bulbous and looks really like what's the word? Like chunky. Or I don't know.
Yeah, they look like the Michelin men sometimes.
Yeah. It's like they're wearing normal hiking clothes and then the dress is under the jacket. Or like they wear normal hiking clothes and they get up there and then they like change on the spot, which is like so crazy to me to have like the confidence to just do that. I'd be so embarrassed. And yeah, it's just like, it's amazing how much effort these influencers put into getting like these admittedly incredible pictures for the gram. And like, part of me wants to say that I would never do that, but it looks so good that I am tempted, and like, I can't rule it out entirely. I would be like super excited to have a picture like that.
I know. I feel like I've been seeing a lot of those recently, like the Instagram versus reality posts. And mm-hmm. I think this is one account. I forget her handle, but she almost all of her posts are just like that. It's like the first photo in the carousel is like the beautiful aesthetic picture of her like whatever on a mountain or in a city in her very like impractically beautiful outfit. And then always like the next post in the carousel is like a video of her like changing and doing that. And I don't know. I just love seeing the behind the scenes of it because yeah. It makes me think like, okay, so not only is this like kind of attainable for regular people, but it's also, or they also give you like the step-by-step of how to do it and like yeah. How to tuck in your jacket and stuff. And I've definitely, yeah, same. Like, I don't think I'd have like the courage to do that like regularly, but I've definitely saved those posts for like the future. I don't know.
Yeah. It's like, it shows that there's a lot of work that goes into those pictures.
Yeah, yeah. It really demystifies it because I think, I don't know, before, I'd say like, I've only started seeing those posts within the last maybe year or so. But before, you would just see like people posting these like amazing, gorgeous shots. And like, it just feels like so unattainable. Like, mm-hmm. It is very difficult to attain for sure. But like, you kind of see into the black box of like being an influencer.
Yeah, like it's very glamorous and you're like, yeah. How do they do that? And I guess if you like really put some thought into it, like how would I do that? Then you would do yeah. The same thing as them. But it's like not very practical in real life.
Yeah.
And then like related to that are pictures I see from influencers on Instagram wearing outfits that seem like algorithmically generated to do well on Instagram. So clothes with like interesting silhouettes, like the puffiest sleeves you could ever dream of, or clothes in like bright fun colors or bold patterns that are like kind of made or bought to get likes mm-hmm. from their followers. And it's like, I think when I watch YouTube videos about like how to curate your wardrobe, they're always like, oh yeah, you should always have one or two statement pieces, you know, to like mm-hmm. wear to like parties and stuff like that. But at this point, like Instagram fashion is statement clothing. Yeah. Like, that's kind of all it is.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. I didn't even think about how like It's like, yeah, it's almost algorithmically generated because all of the things that I tend to like and save, like they're all like those like graphic prints or people wearing like graphic prints, or it's like, yeah, the same like puffy sleeve silhouette because it looks really good, but also
it does.
Yeah, like I feel like a lot of the things that do well on my feed or the things that I tend to gravitate toward are like those like less practical clothes, because I feel like, oh yeah, that's pretty unique, like I'll save that for later. Like sometimes I'll see influencers like wearing nothing but like a super cute bralette and like a really cute cardigan or like very beautiful loungewear, and I just always think like that's very impractical. I don't like, there's no way you actually wear that outside of like Instagram, but it is cool to see. Like it's like fashion as art rather than fashion as like a utilitarian thing.
Yeah,
maybe it's like a different category. But
that's true. That's a good way to think about it.
But I also like find myself thinking like, wow, my closet is so boring. Like I just have like the 2 1.5 statement pieces and like maybe I should get more so it's like more eye-catching. But then I realize like, when am I ever gonna wear this?
Yeah, it kind of relates back to our pit crew episode where we were like, oh, we don't really have like the confidence or the money to buy these kinds of clothes wear them every day.
Mm-hmm.
But I think like these influencers make it seem like that's all they do.
Yeah, yeah. Because it is their job, which makes sense. Yeah. But like I didn't even think about how, yeah, they might not even just like wear this in their day-to-day life.
And it also makes me think about like the shopping habits of these influencers, mm-hmm. especially the ones who are advocating like sustainable fashion and the impact that buying clothes specifically because it will photograph well has on the environment. Because statement clothing is also usually just trendy clothing, or it makes such a big statement that it's not something you can really wear all of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like I've seen like reels from influencers who just have like racks and racks of fancy colorful dresses for their various Instagram posts. And I'm just like, where do you ever wear that outside of Instagram? I mean, I guess if you're an influencer, you go to a lot of events too. So I guess it makes a little bit more sense. And then I guess that, you know, they can also like flex it as content for reels.
Oh, or something. Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's so true. Man, I'm trying to think back to like, what is a normal closet size? And I think about like my mom's closet. And I think she also had like racks and racks of clothes, but it's kind of stuff that she's accumulated like her whole life. Whereas, I mean, I've seen that on reels too, where I feel like a lot of influencers, even like at the micro level, like maybe like 10K followers, and they're more like people like me and you who make like really creative content. I feel like I see them make a lot of those reels that are like, how Disney princesses would dress if they lived today, or like how your Myers-Briggs type would dress. And so like I feel like the clothes that I tend to see on these racks are more so like stuff they kind of buy one off for the purpose of making like these kinds of reels, and not necessarily like clothes that they actually like thought about and like would wear. I don't know, like that doesn't seem super sustainable to me either. And I saw this one YouTuber in my recommendations that was titled like, I hate the way I dress. And I was like, that's a catchy title. Let me click on it. It's from a creator named Haley's Corner. And the video was super interesting to me because she's like literally one of these like she fits the bill of like this influencer that you were just describing, like someone who has like those racks and racks of clothes, who goes to events. But like the majority of her closet, she said, was just stuff that she would buy for like YouTube videos or Instagram. Just to fit like the bill of like one specific idea she had. Like how to style like white sneakers. And she bought like a ton of white sneakers and like a ton of different new things to wear with it. And she said in the video, like, I realized I have a bunch of clothes that I would never wear again. And like, I didn't even like in the first place, really. And that's why like, it feels like my style is really stagnant right now. And that made me think a lot too about this. Like, what are the lengths someone would go, even if they had the resources to do things for the gram?
Yeah, because I guess if you're dressing for Instagram, you're not even really dressing necessarily for your style all the time. You're sometimes dressing because it's just like, it's what's going to do well on Instagram, not necessarily because you like it. I just remembered that like also streetwear is something that does really well on Instagram.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's true.
I like totally forgot about it because that's like not my taste.
No, that's so true. Yeah, her style is super streetwear. Like, oh my God, she has like 100 hoodies and like baggy pants. And I'm like, yes, this is a look, but also like, do you really need this many hoodies?
Yeah, Yeah, because, like, I guess we could talk about fashion forever.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, like, I guess on Instagram, it's also frowned upon to kind of repeat outfits all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Or at the very least, you have to, like, leave a few months or, like, a lot of posts in between each outfit repeat so that it doesn't look like it's the same shit over and over and over again.
True, yeah. Because also, like, reselling is really popular, so people have the option, or at least influencers have the option to just buy random clothes and then just offload it to their followers whenever they want.
And it's also like, are these people justifying it by being like, oh, well, I can just resell it and
I feel like,
like recycling it or something?
I think so. Sorry, I sound like really negative.
No, it's okay. It's okay. And I think like the more popular you are, or like the more you post on Instagram, the more clothes you have to buy.
That's true.
Because, like, if you're just, I guess if you're just posting once in a while, it's okay. But if you're, like, posting every day and people are getting this content all the time, they don't want to see the same shit all the time.
Yeah. And, like, clothes are the content, ultimately, like, for these people. So, gotta have fresh supply.
But yeah, like, I'm definitely guilty of this too. There are definitely items in my closet that I bought because they're cute and I thought, oh, this will look like really good for an Insta pic.
Oh, like what?
Like my yellow dress.
Oh yeah.
Like I love that dress, but the yellow dress and then also my pink dress.
They're super cute.
They are cute and they're fun to wear, but like the pink dress in particular, I'm kind of like, this is like more of a party dress. Do you have any items in your closet that you bought specifically because you thought they would look good on Instagram?
Let me think. Sorry, I don't think so.
That's okay.
I think everything I buy, I think like, okay, would I be okay?
Like being like
my thought. Yeah. My thought process of buying new clothing is, does this photograph well, like, in general, like, for any occasion? But I can't think of anything in particular, no. Oh, yeah, I remember there was a time when I wanted to post pictures of myself climbing, like, in the climbing gym to motivate myself to climb better grades so I could publish it. And I bought, like, very aesthetic workout clothes for that sole purpose. Because, like, otherwise I just climb in, like, my sweatpants and, like, t-shirts. So. Yeah, I guess that's one example.
Wait, okay. I always thought, like, when you go climbing, you have to wear, like, those, like, tank top bralette type things.
Oh, absolutely not.
Oh, okay. Wait, honestly, that was kind of part of the reason why I didn't want to climb. I just, I'm, like, so self-conscious of my body. No. I didn't want to, like, be thinking about that while I'm trying not to also fall. Oh, I want to go climbing one day.
Okay. You know, now that you know, you can wear whatever you want.
Yeah. No, yeah, I guess technically I could always have just worn whatever I wanted.
That's true.
But yeah, all your clothes always look so good. Like, you always look ready to be photographed.
Thank you, Lisa. That was the goal.
There's also, like, the very concept of Instagram museums and, you know, the pop-ups and their predecessors, like Instagrammable walls, like murals and things like that. I have, in fact, been to the Pink Wall in LA, and I know I do feel, like, some kind of shame about it. people get mocked a lot for going to that wall, but it's so bright and bold. It's fun.
How could you not love it? Yeah. You can go there ironically or unironically, and you should not be shamed for it.
Yeah, and, like, I know, especially, like, in college, I think for us, Instagram museum-type things were a lot more popular. Like, there definitely seemed to be, like, every few weeks there was, like, a new concept coming up. And I think people got really tired of it. They're like, what are these Instagram museums? And they would kind of shit on it for not being, like, a real museum.
Yeah.
But, like, I did go to the Color Factory in SF, and it's just, like, it's a lot of fun because it's more interactive than a regular museum where you just go and you look at stuff. And I mean, you do learn in a regular museum. These ones, you know, you get to, like, there was one where you get, like, a giant crayon or a marker or something, and you just color the wall green. And you get, like, a lot of, like, really awesome pictures out of it. But, yeah. Have you been to an Instagram-type museum?
Honestly, no, I haven't. Well, I've been to, like, those, like, more recently, those, like, light installation exhibits. I don't remember what they're called, but it's, like, you walk in and there are just, like, a bunch of different, like LED lights. And it's kind of like the
something lab.
Yeah. Creative Labs? Team Lab?
Team Labs. Yeah.
Team Labs. Yeah, I've been to those, and I've always wanted to go to Museum of Ice Cream because I think that was like the inaugural like Instagram museum.
Yeah, the original.
Yeah, like the original one. But then I never went because it would always be sold out. And then by the time there were tickets, like, I would hear reviews, like, all my friends saying, oh, yeah, it's not worth it. It's just, like, a pretty place to take pictures. It's, like, crowded. And so I always was turned off by them. But really, like, I don't know. I think people had very high expectations going into them because of how pretty the photos were. But, like,
yeah,
I don't think, I mean, it was necessarily designed to be, like, the most entertaining experience ever. Like, I think, yeah, all of these places were designed for, like, the purpose of you having a good time and taking photos. Yeah, and taking pictures. Like, it's not supposed to be, like, Disneyland or anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like you should go. It's, like, totally on brand for you.
I know. I don't even know if they're even around anymore.
Yeah.
But I would like to go one day. There was something called, like, The Happy Place in L.A. Actually, I don't even know if that's the name. But it was, like, happy themed, like a lot of yellow smiley faces, and I really wanted to go there, but they were also closed.
Yeah. And then, like, lately there's been a lot of, like, these more like the Van Gogh immersive experience type museums, which I guess is also kind of a Team Lab, similar to the Team Lab
museums. It's like with, like, projections of like images. There's also, like, a Monet one now.
No, yeah, it's, like, the newest incarnation of these Instagram museums. But they look so cool. I wanted to go to the Van Gogh one, but now that they have the Monet one, I'm kind of like, I might go to that one.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about that one more.
Yeah, same. Because I feel like I've seen enough people post about the Van Gogh one, where I'm like, okay, I feel like I know what it's about, and, like, I've seen it.
But I've seen, like, friends who went to, like, the Van Gogh one, and you're just kind of, like, sitting on the floor looking at projections, which I think is fun for a while, but knowing me, I would get bored really fast. I think you're meant to kind of just sit there for a long time, and I'm not somebody who, like, sits down and just, like, looks at things for...
You need to interact.
Yeah, my brain would be like, okay, what's next?
I know. I feel like that's the thing with a lot of these exhibits. Like, I think they'd be a lot of fun. But if you have to pay to get in, I always think, like, okay, but I want to get my money's worth and actually, like, make it a full experience. But I know, like, you can't, like, I don't know, ask for too much.
Yeah.
I think, like, on a similar note for the Museum of Ice Cream, I remember, like, a couple years ago, the creator of Museum of Ice Cream was kind of disappointed in how most people were just going there to take photos and not necessarily, like, live in the moment and experience the magic that is ice cream or, like, properly interact with the exhibits. And so she ran an experiment to test whether or not having your phone, like, with you going through the museum, like, made a difference on your overall happiness after finishing it up. So she said that, like, I think a part of the experiment was, if you choose to leave your phone at the entrance, you could go in for free. Like, you wouldn't have to pay for it. I think a lot of people did that. I really don't know the results of that experiment. Or, I mean, it probably wasn't, like, a proper experiment. She was just curious. The artist's intent and then the creator's interpretation. Like, yes, some people could go there and, like, have a really good time, like, living in the moment. But also, like, you could have an equally good time, like, being able to get really cool photos out of it. I think there's also a genuine joy in that process too.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, I would do it and then I would pay for an actual ticket so I could get pictures.
Yeah, do it twice.
That's interesting. Because I guess, like, I mean, you want pictures for at least for the memories, right?
Exactly,
like,
not
to put them on Instagram, you just want to, like, go back through your camera roll and remember them.
Yeah, I feel like nowadays there's, like, people conflate taking photos with not truly appreciating or experiencing a moment. Like, photography has been around for hundreds of years now, and it's, like, an art form. And it's a way for people, you know, to capture, like, precious memories. But, of course, like, what people do with those photos, like, people look down upon, like, I don't know. Like, I think about concerts and how, like, people say, oh yeah, you're not really in the moment if you're just recording the whole thing. But like,
yeah, if you're like looking through your camera.
Yeah, yeah. And like, I can see their point. I just wonder, like, they're two separate things sometimes. And I feel like really self-conscious nowadays, like when I take out my phone to take pictures. I mean, nowadays, not really, but like maybe in college, I would feel self-conscious. Like, oh, are people judging me for not living in the moment? But whatever.
Yeah, I remember when I was younger, like, I mean, my aunt loves to take pictures of, like, everything. I remember being, like, 4 years old. It was, like, I don't know, Christmas or New Year's or something. And she was, like, go out onto, like, the porch and I'll take a picture of you. And I was, like, I just want to open my presents or, like, get my money or whatever. I don't know. And I was, like, why do I have to do this? Who cares? But now I'm just, like, you know, she has all these memories, like, throughout the years. Yeah. And, like, I'm someone who often forgets to, like, take pictures of things. Mm-hmm. It's not, like, my first instinct to just take a picture. Like, I always forget. And, like, I always notice you, like, taking tons of pictures of everything. And I'm always like, oh, yeah, I should also take pictures. Because, like, I want to remember this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It helps when you have the memory of a goldfish. And I'm like, if I don't take a photo of this, I literally, like, did it happen?
Yeah.
We can encourage each other.
Yay. Like, I do really enjoy Instagram museums. They're, like, a really easy way to get, like, good pictures that, like, also look good on Instagram. But it's also just, like, really fun to go and do these things.
Yeah.
Like, I'll straight up just research places to go, like, for Instagram. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I do like looking at other people's pictures and be like, oh, that looks really fun. And then, like, I, like, jot it down so I can go myself. Like, something else that does really well on Instagram is food.
Yes, food.
Yeah, I was, like, actually, like, where did the term foodie come from? Because I was, like, oh, maybe it was, like, an Instagram thing. But actually, somebody coined the term in, like, the 1980s.
Okay.
Yeah. So, foodies existed before Instagram. But I think there's definitely, like, a genre in and of itself on Instagram. Yes. There's, like, accounts dedicated to just amazing pictures of food.
Yeah.
Like, we're planning a trip to New York for next year. And a lot of people on my Instagram, at least, go to New York. And so they post a ton of pictures of, like, the places that they go to and, like, the places that they eat. And I have definitely added, like, restaurants and cafes that I thought looked amazing. And I don't know if they're going to taste good. But, I mean, hopefully I'll get a good picture out of it.
Yeah. And, like, that's, like, part of the joy of the overall experience. Like, okay, maybe food 4 out of 10. But if, like, the joy of, like, because you eat with your eyes, and, like, sometimes part of the joy of eating is just being really excited to eat it and, like, smelling it and, like, seeing how beautiful it is. And I think that's worth it too. Whatever, like, exorbitant, insane amount of money we'll spend on, like, pretty food. I don't know, Lisa, but
yeah,
I think it'll be worth it.
Yeah, like, one of my friends on Instagram posted a picture of, like, toast with, like, it looked like whipped ricotta or something on it. It was, like, thick. And so I don't know if that's, like, that much ricotta cheese is going to be good to eat on toast, but it looked amazing.
It sure is pretty.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about most, like, desserts. Like, whenever I see beautiful cakes and, like, cupcakes, like, pastries with, like, a ton of frosting, I'm like, I would definitely scrape all that frosting off before I eat it. But it's beautiful. Like,
Yeah, I kind of, like, think about how, like, a lot of people make food for Instagram now, actually.
Yeah.
Like, I think, I guess originally people would, like, go to these places and take pictures of food and then post them on Instagram. And then now a lot of, like, chefs and, like, pastry chefs and stuff like that, like, they see that these pictures do well on Instagram, and so they start designing the food so that people will take pictures of it and, like, generate, like, buzz.
Yeah, that's what I feel about, like, all of the 626 night market. Like, I remember I went one time, and, like, I don't know, I think rainbows were really in at the time. This was, like, 2018, and I remember getting, like, rainbow bows that just tasted like normal bows, but they were, like, pastel pink and blue. And there was, like, rainbow elote, which was normal elote, but they would use, like, pink and blue, like, cheese. And I know, like, for a fact they would not have done that if, like, it was not for Instagram.
Yeah.
Because, like, yeah, what's, I don't know. There were, like, 5 different elote stands, like, in the 626 night market. And I think the most crowded ones were the ones with like the pretty colorful like cheese.
Ooh. I wonder which one tasted the best though.
I know. Just watch them all. Like, I think they were all the same company, honestly. Like,
oh, interesting. I don't know.
Maybe not, but they all looked very similar.
I really want to get good pics for Instagram, like good food pics. Yes. But getting like a good picture of food is actually really hard.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not good at it. So, I don't know. Like, I guess at the very least you hope that they'll be tasty. But I find mm-hmm. that more often than not, it's like, it's okay.
It's good.
It's good. It's fine.
Yeah, I feel like there has to be some kind of graph of like tastiness to like beautiful, like beauty. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the more beautiful a food is, like, it can't possibly like taste as good as it looks sometimes.
I don't know.
Like, there are some trade-offs with like aesthetics and actual taste.
Like, yeah, like foods. Fondant.
Yeah. Disgusting. But beautiful.
Yeah, and then there are like other things that just always do well on Instagram, like flowers. Like, I definitely went to, what's that place in San Diego?
Oh, the Carlsbad Flower Field?
Yeah. I definitely went there because of Instagram.
Your posts were gorgeous. They definitely inspired me to go there.
Yeah. Wait, have you been?
I have not, no.
Oh my
when
God.
I went to San Diego, they like just harvested the flowers. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sad.
They're so
next
pretty
year.
Though. It lives in my brain. Or the photo of you in the flower fields lives in my brain rent-free.
Aw. It probably helps that it's my profile picture.
Yeah.
Like traveling, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't want to say that people do that specifically for Instagram. Like, I'd like to think that people travel because they want to experience and like explore a new place and culture. But there are like definitely popular places to go on Insta. Like,
yeah.
I remember there was that whole like controversy with Hailey Pham, I think. When she went to Greece, and then she was like, oh, it's not worth it. It's, like, not as beautiful as it looks, or something like that. And I was just like, ooh, yeah. Like, I guess, like, you get lured in by these pictures,
mm-hmm.
and then, like, the reality is not as good. Because, like, a lot of people just edit the people out of the,
exactly,
the
yeah.
pictures, and then you go there, it's just, like, crowded with other people who saw that picture.
Yeah.
And it's also, like, not as bright or colorful because it's been, like, mm-hmm. edited to
it's
look
not, yeah.
even better. But I don't know. I would still go to Greece. It does look really beautiful. And I bet the food is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, my cousin just went to Greece, like, a couple... Oh, yeah, last month. And because it's during the pandemic, which she was like, should I have gone looking back? But at the time, she said because it was during the pandemic, like, that was... the emptiest she's seen Greece, and she's been like a couple times growing up with her family, and like she almost like she took photos that almost achieved like perfect Instagram influencer level because like there weren't that many people in them, and I think like just crowds are the number one turnoff for people who like go to a place like, and I think this phenomenon's been happening for a long time. Like, I think there's a phrase in like Japan in Japanese that's like the disillusionment with like seeing Paris for the first time in real life, because I think people in Japan like really like romanticize Paris and France, and then when they actually get there, like they're so shocked at how dirty and like it is and how rude people are and how crowded it is, and yeah, there's some kind of word for it. I'll think about it later, but
yeah it's like that reel that I sent you of that woman. I think Love You on Rose was playing in the background.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
She was, like, drinking at a cafe, and, like, Love You on Rose was playing, and it sounded, like, so romantic, mm-hmm. and it looked so idyllic and peaceful. And then it cuts to, like, the reality that she's on, like, a busy street, and there's like, cars and honking and all kinds of, like, city life noises.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like, that in real life, like, when you travel, like, people who... genuinely love to travel for traveling, like that's a part of the experience too, like that's a part of like experiencing France, like yes, the beautiful pastries and like the history, but also like the rude ass people and like the noisy street sirens, and like yeah, it is disappointing. Like it's just all about expectations. I feel like if you go into it expecting something, like you're always going to be disappointed no matter what it is.
Yeah, It's like culture shock, but then also Instagram shock.
Yeah, two layers now.
Yeah, so I guess we can get into, like, why do we do these things for Instagram? Like, why do we feel compelled to do things that we think will perform well on Instagram?
Yeah.
And kind of on a, like, a larger level, I guess it also relates to, like, the things that we do that will do well on social media in general. So, like, TikTok, YouTube, Vine. Like, mm-hmm. Do it for the Vine was a thing when was around.
Those were oftentimes way more dangerous, too. Like, doing it for the gram. Like, you're just taking nice photos. But sometimes people would, like, put themselves at, like, in harm's way for, like, the Vine to get, like, a funny video or...
Yeah. And then, like, I think most people who are, like, influencers, they do it for the clout and to gain followers and to get money.
Yeah.
Right? But I guess, like that's kind of obvious. I'm just interested in thinking about, like, why do we do it?
Like, yeah,
like, because we're not influencers.
Yeah.
We don't have really anything to gain from, like, posting, like, amazing pictures on our Instagram that, like, 5 people are going to see. But, yeah, it's like we're not immune to,
absolutely to the allure.
Yeah, like, I'm definitely guilty of doing things and thinking in the back of my head, like, oh, is there potential for an Instagram post out of this? Like, can I turn this into, like, a cool post, you know? And, like, I'll try to dress nice if I think I'm going someplace that I could post about. Part of why I do it is, like, it gives me something to do, first and foremost. I do plan a lot of activities around, like, potential Instagram posts. Otherwise, I'd probably just be at home all the time. And then I think it's like a little bit like kind of flex culture. You know, like, you want the people in your life to see that you're, like, doing things that are interesting. And then mm-hmm. people will think that, like, your life is super fun and super cool.
Yeah.
And, like, I think that also kind of came from Instagram a little bit. Or maybe, I mean, I think this is just in general, but, like, it's like the fear of missing out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so, like, you see other people do things and then you don't want to miss out on that, and so you do it too.
Yeah, similar to you, like, on the flex culture point, I mean, I think it's honestly just human nature to seek, like, social validation, like, and then Instagram just amplifies that. I think we always, our entire life, have done things to impress other people in some way. Mm-hmm. Like, I've definitely, like, as a kid would buy certain outfits or, like, brag about going to Disneyland just to make my peers think that I was cool. And now that I have, like, a constant audience, it's just, that has not changed. I think, like, a part of that too, it's like thinking about my following list. Who do I have? Who is my audience, basically? And I think we talked about this before in the Instagram anxieties episode, but it's like, I think about my audience as, like, a collection of people in my life who I actually care about now and people who I maybe cared about in the past but still follow me, but, like, no matter what, you kind of, like, care about what they think because they're your circle, like, for better or for worse. And so I feel like when I post, it's in the back of my mind thinking, like, I want people to know that I'm doing well and, you know, I'm into aesthetic things and I'm, like, comfortable and pretty and whatever. And, like, that definitely dictates a lot of, like, my content for sure. And I think also, like, an extension of that is just in general, I like pretty things. And I think Instagram is just, like, a whole universe of, like, beautiful things. Like, I can see the really awesome things that my friends are doing and, like, get a lot of inspiration, like, creatively from that. I don't know. Yeah, I just like seeing pretty things. And, like, I think a lot of people like pretty things too. So I don't think it's, like, shallow or anything to, like, design your entire weekend around just, like, finding, like, beautiful things to look at and experience and to share with others, because, like, I love that stuff. Like, if you post a photo of yourself in, like, a beautiful flower field, like, I'm like, hell yeah, Lisa, that's awesome. Like, I would frame that. So
yeah it, like, inspires you to kind of live your best life a little bit, like, you see other people doing, like, these amazing things and you want to do that too. Yeah, I think something that's kind of been popular for a little bit is this idea of like romanticizing your own life. And I think this kind of helps with that a little bit. Like, I think lately a lot more people kind of just take pictures of their ordinary life and then like set like really cute, fun, romantic music to it and make it seem better, seem more better than like it is, or like less mundane.
Yeah, I feel like it's an art form. Like when I see those reels that are like a day in the life or a day in my life, and it's just them like commuting on the train to work, but like it's just snapshots of like the sunrise and like their morning coffee, and like just there's a lot of production value in like these reels. And I mean, it makes me think like, okay, yeah, these people could be influencers, but they're also like creators, like they're creatives. And I mean, I think every human has the potential to be creative, and like, I don't know, we all love art, so like why not create like a montage of your own life? I feel like it's been done before too, before Instagram. So now it's just like we have the tools to make it more accessible.
Yeah, I think like you look at these people's lives and you're like, why can't I live my life like that? Yeah. And so it makes you reframe the way you look at your own life a little bit more. And so, you know, you look up at the sky and you're like, wow, the sky is so blue. And, you know, you go to a cafe and you like drink your cute little drink or whatever. And you're like, oh, my life is like that. You know, I just wasn't appreciating it.
Or you weren't like really seeking those moments that could bring you that like satisfaction.
Yeah, exactly. So good. Instagram can be good.
Instagram can be good.
I don't know. I think what I mean, sometimes I'm like, maybe we're biased because we love Instagram so much.
I know, but
yeah. And then kind of related to that is like the idea of like pics or it didn't happen. Like, I was kind of thinking about it, and it, like, kind of implies that if you didn't photograph it, then it didn't happen, and then you haven't done anything, and you're, like, your life is boring, and you're sad, and a loser. And it's, like, it kind of, like, the pics or it didn't happen mindset kind of compels you to, like, post about your life so you can, like, show people that you're doing things and you're not just, like, sitting in a room by yourself.
Yeah, it's kind of like, if you didn't take a photo of it, did you really have a good time or enjoy it? And, like, if, like, doing these things is truly supposed to be for yourself. So I don't know where I was going with that.
No, yeah, but, it's, like, it's definitely about getting validation from other people.
Yeah,
like recently I had a day off, and so I went to the lake to play Animal Crossing after the new update released, and I also decided to get milk tea to make it like the perfect day. And like when I was like deciding which milk tea to get, I decided to get the rose milk tea, which I do like, but my motivation was also like, I can take a picture of it and it'll look really cute next to like my yellow switch light, you know, the lake in the background. Like I was already like envisioning what the picture would look like in my head. And it's like something that I shared on my story, but when I was thinking about that in relation to this episode, I was like, what was I trying to achieve? Like, what was the point of sharing that picture? Like, who cares? And it was just like me showing people like, oh, look at this like idyllic day that I'm having, like, by the lake, you know, drinking my milk tea, playing Animal Crossing. But yeah, it's like, was it necessary to post that? No. Did people need to know? No. Like, it could have been a memory just for me, but I still felt like, everybody look.
Well, I mean, I feel like honestly, like, part of life is just partaking in shared memories with other people. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, like, the joy and beauty of life. Like, when I look back at, like, my favorite moments, you can remember that something wonderful happened and, like, you had that awesome day. But I feel like it's just so much more fulfilling when other people are able to, like, witness it and take joy in it, too, and, like, be happy for you. And, like, I think it's – I'm always pessimistic thinking, like, oh, are people going to judge me and, like, think I'm showing off or whatever, like maybe people don't actually care, but like realistically, like, we surround ourselves and our following list with like people who genuinely care and like want that for you. And are like, Lisa, you deserve that so bad.
Oh,
like,
thank you.
You are so hard, and like, yeah, like that looks like an awesome day.
Yeah.
You got some vitamin D that day, you got your
That's
favorite
true,
drink.
I did.
And like it kind of ties back to what you were saying about how like if you didn't have that like predetermined Instagram image in your mind of like your switch with like the rose milk tea, like would you even have gone out like and taken advantage of your day off? Like I feel like
yeah.
we're both kind of, I mean, you're definitely conscientious about like, I don't know, like saving money and like the time that you spend like on yourself. And I could have seen a world where you just like stayed home and played your Switch instead. But like the alternative mm-hmm. was so much better and like you
yeah. treated
yourself.
I guess I'm always like also always surprised when I look at who's viewed my Insta stories. And like there are some people that I just like never talk to, but they consistently look at my stories anyway. Like we're not really friends, but they're still there. And I'm like,
yeah.
Oh. And, like, I also look at their stories. Like, we don't talk at all. But I'm still like, well, what are you up to?
You never know, yeah, like, how much of a difference you make in other people's lives, really.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And, I mean, it is a social media platform. It
yeah.
was built to share your life.
Yes.
That's like, the whole purpose.
Yeah, exactly.
So, is it bad to do it for the gram? I think, like, some cons that I found in an article is that, like, I guess these are more, like, effects of Instagram, but, mm-hmm. like, it can harm destinations, right? Like, so, like, seeing something on Instagram can, like, drive tourism, which can be good for, like, a local economy and stuff, but it also can, like, make the location worse, like, less mm-hmm. worth visiting as well. Like, especially with natural landscapes and, like, parks, national parks and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and habitats. Like, it can, like, people will go there and, like, I mean, people suck sometimes. They'll, like, litter and, like, leave trash instead yeah. of, like, you know, leaving it like they found it. Or, like, with Greece again, like, it's just, like, there's so many people there that it's kind of not worth going.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. And it also, like, something else that they mentioned was, like, it could put wildlife at risk, at least in, like, natural
True.
Locations.
Yeah.
It can also be dangerous. Like, you mentioned that, like, with a vine, it motivates people to do more dangerous things because, like, more people will watch it. But, like, with Instagram, I do remember a lot of people would do, like, those hanging off a cliff type shots.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think, like, the reality is, like, they're hanging and they're, like, 2 feet off the ground.
Yeah.
But I think there are also other people who, like, do actually just, like, hang off random things.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember seeing some stories, like, a few months ago or something of, like, some people who, like, died because they were, like, standing near a waterfall and mm-hmm. they, like, slipped and fell. And it was just, like, yeah. really sad.
Super unfortunate.
And then another con is it kind of creates, like, a false reality of what your life is like. Like, if somebody just looks at your Instagram or, like, your Insta stories, they're like, oh, she's, like, living this amazing life. And it's, like, so great. Like, I wish I could be her friend or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, like, this is actually something that happened to me, like, last week where was it our last pottery class?
Yep.
Or, yeah, it was our last pottery class, and, like, halfway through the pottery class, I started to kind of get a headache and get pretty tired, but we, like, had plans with your friends, and we, like, went to this wine bar that I was really excited about. It was, like, a plant wine bar in SF. It, like, looked really cool and pretty and amazing, but, like, by the time we got there, like, my headache was so bad. I felt, like, so ill that I actually ended up throwing up there and, like, had to go home, but, like, I did get, like, a little video of the wine bar before all of that happened, and I posted it to my Insta story, and I remember it being like, damn, like, this looks like such a fun place in the video, but, like, nobody who doesn't know me wouldn't know that I had, like, a terrible time, not because of the wine bar or anything, but it was just like like, they don't know that, like, I was ill.
I'm really sorry you fell ill, Lisa. We will go again. And you
yeah.
will have a better time.
Yeah, I was telling my brother about it. He's like, I would not show my face there again. I was like, no, I want to go. It's so pretty.
Reclaim it.
But yeah, those are, like, the cons that I found. Can you think of any other cons?
Yeah, you covered the main ones. I guess, yeah, I mean, we've talked about this, but, like, I don't know, for me personally, it's, like, spending money on experiences that, like, maybe are not worth it. I always
yeah.
justify things in my brain, like, well, if I got, like, a good photo out of it, if I had a good time with my friends, like, maybe it was worth it. But I definitely, like, spent more money than I should. Going to specific places for the gram, like, for example, when Andrew and I went to Fort Bragg in, like, near Mendocino, we went on something called, like, skunk bike or skunk rails. Uh-huh. And like, that's where you ride this like motorized bike on these train tracks through a forest. And
yeah,
it was very beautiful, but I don't think like we would have actually done it had we not wanted to take pictures of the forest throughout. And it was very expensive. So like, we always like warn people now, like, don't do it. It's not worth
it.
Not
really.
And like,
it looked
I mean,
so good.
Right? It was really pretty. And like, I don't regret going, but like, it makes me think maybe I should be more choosy. Like, if I only have like a certain amount of budget and like a certain amount of time on a trip. Yeah, that's like a main con. And I think a lot of people do, like, especially when it comes to like traveling. Like, I mean, like you said, I don't think people just plan entire vacations to take photos, but some people do. And like, I know people who do that. Like, and because part of their job is to like take photos. So I don't know. I think, yeah, spending money is one thing. Yeah, I feel like creating false realities is also like a big one. Like you mentioned, like, I mean, I don't think we owe it to anyone to be super authentic on Instagram. Like, I think people always value like, yeah, present your totally unfiltered, unedited life on Instagram. But reality is like, in your real life, you're never like unfiltered. Like when you're at work, when you're with your friends, like, you're always going to like edit some part of yourself to make other people comfortable. And but at the same time, it's like, I've definitely spent a long time like agonizing over how people might perceive me through my Instagram. And I think a lot of people use their Instagram as like their brand. Like, whether you just like shitpost all the time or whether you put like a lot of care and effort into your posts, I guess like whoever meets you for the first time and starts to follow you will make a judgment of you based on your posts. Like, it is not necessarily a reflection of who you are, but like what you prioritize or what you like or who your friends are. So I think I've definitely spent a lot of time thinking about like my brand that, I don't know. So I spend like more time than it's probably healthy, like curating that feed. Like, I remember thinking, wow, like, I have too many photos of humans and myself on my feed. I should go out and take photos of flowers and like some neutral palette to like balance out my feed. And like, I've literally gone out to take photos for that. And I don't know, it's like, if I wasn't so insecure about how my feed looked, then maybe I wouldn't have done that. I agree with you, though. You bring up good points.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of guilty of that, too. Like, I think I justify how many pictures I have where I just do things for the gram. I mean, like, well, I also post pictures that, like, don't do well on Instagram. Like, it's not all about the gram, you know? Like, for me, instead of, like, balancing out pictures of like, myself or, like, other people with, like, flowers and stuff, like, I think my go-to is, like, architecture.
Yeah. But that's, like, your brand.
That's true.
But it does balance out your feed beautifully.
Aw, thank you. I think your pictures also balance out your feed beautifully.
For better or for worse.
But it's also, like, I guess what's the alternative, right? Like, not sharing about your life. Like, if you're on Instagram, like, you might as well. Like, there are definitely people who are just on Instagram and they, like, never post anything. And they just, like, follow you and, like, look at your pictures. Which I have considered doing that, just never posting again and just, like, looking at other people's lives. But then it's like, is that fair? I don't know. Because, like, what if everybody decided to do that, right? What if everybody was all like, oh, I'm never going to post on Instagram again. It's unhealthy. And then, like, nobody's sharing anything. There's nothing to look at. But, yeah. And then, like, I don't know. Like, I think Jenny is somebody who this does not apply to at all. Like, this whole episode. Like, she doesn't have an Instagram in the first place. But I think she also doesn't really care too much about, like, what other people think or like what they know about her life or anything like that. And like, I often joke with her, I'm like, you know, you have like the healthiest like relationship with Instagram, which is none. I don't know, I just like, I can't imagine not taking pictures posting them and like thinking about how they look, editing. Like, there's like a lot of joy for me, at least, in like curating these pictures.
I mean, it's like, it's an art form. Like, photography is art. And I think it's just when it comes to like sharing, it gets kind of complicated. There's art for yourself and then there's art for other people. And like, I don't think that's unhealthy to like enjoy the art form of it. Yeah, I was thinking about like, what did people do before Instagram? Like, and I think about my aunt who, like, well before she had an Instagram, she would definitely go to very beautiful places and buy like fancy foods for the sole purpose of taking photos of them. But then she would share them with her friends like in real life. Like she would go to their houses and she'd take them through her like photo albums and this is what I ate, this is where I went. And so it's like now that she has Instagram, like she doesn't have to go to their houses anymore. And she got it during the pandemic actually when she wasn't able to show people her photos in person. And I wouldn't say she's like a photographer or anything. Like I don't think photos for her are like her artistic medium, but she just loves taking them and she loves like capturing those memories. So
yeah,
I don't know. I think it's, if not Instagram, there's always going to be another way people are going to either show people their art and their photos or get validation, like seek validation from their friends about the cool things that they're doing. So
yeah, I don't think that we should feel any shame.
Yeah, there should be no shame for doing it for the gram, right?
Yeah, I think like this episode idea kind of started out from a place of shame.
Yes.
I think we have therapized ourselves to feel better about
it. We're going to do it anyway, so might as well like make ourselves feel good about it.
Yeah, that's true.
As long as you're safe, be safe, everyone. Don't kill yourself or anyone for the gram. Thanks for listening to Internet Aesthetic. The music for this podcast is Rose Ornamental by Blue Dot Sessions. If you enjoyed listening, you can find us on Instagram at net.aesthetic or leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/internetaesthetic. We hope you join us again next week. Bye!
Bye!